First thing is thank you for the privilege of being here. And Vaughn and I and the whole family have just thoroughly enjoyed it. And I mean, you guys are pretty much a church. I mean, we attend family camp as often as some of my members attend Southeast. And so, I mean, it's church. And so it's a joy to be here with all of you and just thank you. Second thing is somebody kind of donated a set of earbuds out in the parking lot for anybody who wanted them. Kyle?
Kyle.
Kyle.
Who lives close to Kyle?
Where does Kyle live? I'm sure I'll see him next year. Okay. That's not the right question. All right, so what we're going to do today is we're going to say the Lord's Prayer, and then we have some things to look at in Revelation. So would you join me, bow your heads? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Now the place we're going today is we're looking at the seven blessings in Revelation. But before we go there, I had one question that I promised I would get to. And so turn with me to 22:18. So the very end of Revelation, chapter 22, verse 18. By the way, would you tell your neighbor to turn to Revelation 22:18? You know, I'm feeling pretty good. I don't think I heard anybody say Revelations 22:18. So I think we're doing all right. So Revelation 22:18, I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. And so I was asked to speak just briefly to that warning. And so, first of all, it refers to the revelation, the prophecy, the revelation in the book of Revelation. And we are not to add to that, we are not to take from that, we are to receive that, we're actually to keep that. And so that's the most important thing in context. And then some people like to look at it in terms of its canonical context, canonical in terms of the whole Bible, that we're not to add or to take away. And so they kind of use it to stretch across the whole of Scripture. Personally, I get that, but I'm much more comfortable keeping it in the context of Revelation, that we're not to add to this revelation, we're not to take away from this revelation, we are to keep this revelation. And as we keep this revelation, we actually discover that we're blessed. And that's where we're going this morning. And so there are seven blessings of Revelation, and I'll go ahead and list them for you, for those of you who are wanting to take notes. And so the first one occurs at 1:3, and it's blessed is the one who reads, and the one who hears, and who keeps. And we'll look at that one. The second one comes at 14:13. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. The third blessing comes at 16:15. And in short, blessed is the one who stays awake. That's my grandson, Callum. 19:9, blessed are those who are invited. 26, blessed and holy are those who have part in the first resurrection. 22:7, blessed is the one who keeps the words of this revelation. And 22:14, blessed are those who wash their robes. And so we're going to look briefly at each of those, but those are the seven blessings that are spread throughout Revelation. And so go ahead and turn with me back to chapter 1, and we'll look at this first one. So is it 1:3? Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. Now, maybe just a word about blessing. I don't know. When I think about blessing, I tend to think about God's goodness poured out on us. And I don't know that that's a definition you'll find in any dictionary, but just when I think about what does it mean to be blessed, it means to experience the goodness of God. And so to be blessed is to, it's not just that happiness that comes from circumstances. It really arises out of this sense of I'm experiencing God's goodness poured out upon my life, promised over my life. And so that is blessing. And so blessed, the one who reads it, experiences the goodness of God poured out. And the one who hears and keeps this revelation experiences the goodness of God poured out on their lives through hearing and keeping this word. And so I want to take just a quick moment for you to turn to your neighbor and let your neighbor know whether or not you've been blessed this week in our time in Revelation. And if so, what has that blessing been? How have you experienced God's goodness in hearing Revelation read? Is it true? And so take a moment and share with your neighbor your experience of God's goodness as we've worked through Revelation this week. So I hope this is a conversation that will continue on. For me personally, I think one of the blessings that comes out of it, one of the kind of a deeper awareness of the goodness of God poured out upon us, is that truly the news that Jesus is coming, and that changes pretty much everything, to know that Jesus is coming. It's not Domitian who's coming. It's Jesus who's coming. And you know, Roman Empire, AD 95, if Domitian was coming to your city, if he was coming to your town, like, wow, you better get ready and you better be prepared to host him and to honor him and to serve him. And yet he's not worthy of it. And our news is that Jesus is coming, and that changes everything. And it's kind of like, if Jesus is coming, I can put up with Domitian because I know Jesus is coming. If Jesus is coming, I can put up with Rome and everything that's wrong with it because I know Jesus is coming and Jesus will put all things right. So that gives me courage to hold on and to not get overwhelmed, to not fall into despair about Domitian, about Rome, about the empire. Jesus is coming. And when Jesus comes, Jesus will put all things right. His kingdom won't just be up in heaven. His will shall be done on earth. His justice, his righteousness. And so that personally kind of ministers to me, blesses me to realize Jesus is coming and that changes all things and that God is going to make all things right on the face of the earth. So that's just kind of a personal blessing. Okay, let's go on to the next one. Chapter 14. And we find the second blessing at 14:13. So then I heard a voice from heaven say, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them. Now, it's not just blessed are the dead. Okay, it's blessed are the dead who die in the Lord, and that they will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them. Dying in the Lord makes all the difference in the world. That when you die in the Lord, you have the hope of resurrection. If you're not in the Lord when you die, you don't have that hope. That's why that is the Christian hope, resurrection, that death is vanquished. that yes, we die, but we're not merely a people that's under a death sentence. We're all under a death sentence. But when we die in the Lord, we are actually under a sentence to resurrection. That is the word that triumphs over death. We have this Christian hope that we will rise and that we will reign with Christ. You know, it would have been an absolutely tragic thing if Jesus just died on the cross and that was the end of the story. You know, yeah, maybe a sacrifice, for sure, a martyr. But that he's resurrected changes everything. It makes a statement about who Jesus is, that he is the Christ, that he is the Son of God. It makes a statement about God's determination to accomplish salvation, not just of souls, but of bodies, complete beings. God's not content with just getting the soul, the inside me. God's not content with just getting the inside me. God wants to redeem and save the whole me, inside and outside. Resurrection hope. And so blessed are those who die in the Lord, because they will partake in the resurrection and will reign with Christ. There is a hope beyond the grave. And catch this, they will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them. Now, I'm listening to this in terms of AD 95, and some of them are going to die in the Lord, and that death is going to be gruesome. It's going to be an execution. But they will rest from their labor and their deeds will follow them. In other words, God knows exactly what they've done, what they've been through, how they've served, and they will be honored for that. And I find that incredibly encouraging. Jesus knows, we saw this in the letters to the seven churches. Jesus knows where we are. Jesus knows what we're up against. Jesus knows the stands that we have to take. Jesus knows, we were talking the other night, Vonda was talking about this some, or maybe it was Rebecca, my daughter, but all the deaths that we die, I think it was Rebecca talking to me about it, all the deaths that we might die, maybe we're not martyred, but we might die 1,000 deaths in terms of being loyal to Jesus, and every death feels like it cost us something. Our deeds follow us when we die in the Lord. And he knows what we've been through, and he knows the stands that we've taken, and he knows how we have suffered for him and been loyal to him, and we will be honored for that. Blessed are those who die in the Lord. 16:15, that's where we get our third blessing. So go ahead and flip the page or scroll on down there in your phone. 16:15. Jesus says, "Behold, I come like a thief. Blessed is he who stays awake and keeps his clothes with him, so that he may not go naked and be shamefully exposed." Okay, so blessed is he who stays awake. And again, this is Callum's favorite Bible verse. Blessed is he who stays awake and keeps his clothes with him, so that he may not go naked and be shamefully exposed. What this is about is Jesus is coming. How will he find us? And it's a call to live in such a way that we have nothing to hide. That we're nothing to be ashamed of. And so that's the idea behind the clothing, that we're awake, we're alert, we're living our lives in such a way that we have nothing to hide. We haven't compromised anywhere. We're trying to hide that compromise. We haven't sold out in any kind of way. We're trying to keep that hidden. That we're living in such a way that when Christ comes, we have nothing to hide from Christ. And when we live that way, we're blessed. We experience God's goodness poured out upon us as we live with integrity, as we live with faithfulness, as we live with nothing to hide. Okay, next blessing. Let's go to 19:9. Then the angel said to me, "Write, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb." And he added, "These are the true words of God." We've been hearing about this wedding supper of the Lamb, the wedding of the bride and the Lamb. And We experience God's goodness poured out upon us as we get to celebrate, as we get to participate in that dwelling together of God with his people. And whether we think about that in terms, in this metaphor, in terms of husband and wife, whether we think about that in terms of, you know, the city measures like a cube, like the Holy of Holies, and the whole city dwells in the presence of God. There's no need for a separate temple, that God is the temple. But getting to participate that, just the goodness of God poured out as we live in that kind of communion together. And so that's the fifth blessing. Blessing number six. I'm sorry, that was the fourth blessing. Blessing number six, I mean five. Turn with me to chapter 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy are those who have part in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years, participating in the reign of Christ. And again, there's kind of, I don't know, one way of looking at it is that there's two resurrections. There's a resurrection of those who have died in Christ, and they are resurrected to life. And then there's the resurrection of those who died outside of Christ, and their resurrection is unto eternal judgment. And so, blessed, you experience the goodness of God if you are part of that first resurrection, if you have been loyal to Christ, and so you don't have to fear a second death. You don't, and now you are part of the priests of God, and now you reign with Christ. 22:7. Behold, I am coming soon, says Jesus. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy in this book. That's one of the ones I want to spend a little more time on. What does it mean to keep the words of this prophecy, of this book, of this revelation? When I think about keeping, you know, I think about keeping commands. I think about obedience that way. What does it mean to keep the words of this book, the prophecy of this book? And I think more than anything, it means that I'm going to live true to it. That I'm going to live faithful to it. That I'm going to keep my life in line with the news, the revelation of this book, that is Jesus who reigns. Let me tell you one of the places where I find it maybe most difficult to keep the words, the revelation of this prophecy. And that would be at the point to where I know I'm not supposed to worship the emperor, that it's the Lamb who is worthy of my life. And I know that that's going to bring me into conflict with the empire, in conflict with the systems of this world, conflict with the culture and those around me who are telling me that I need to worship the emperor and that it's going to be fine. And maybe those are voices coming from within the church. Certainly those are voices coming from outside the church. And I know that I need to take a stand against that, and that I need to be loyal to Christ, the Lamb, who is slain and who is risen and who is reigning and who is coming and whose kingdom will be established upon the earth. And so I know that and I get that and I need to keep that. But you know what my problem is? That too often as I engage in that struggle, instead of living like the Lamb, I end up acting like the beast. That the beast is reigning and the beast is calling me to bow down before the beast, and all the false prophets are saying, bow down before the beast. The beast is worthy. Domitian in AD 95, we got lots of beasts today. But to bow down to the beast, and I'm saying, no, I need to be loyal to Christ, but then who do I imitate in my living? When I come into conflict, and when I have people bump up against me, and when I have people who are in my way of how I want to live and how I feel called to live, do I live like Christ, the Lamb, or do I go beast mode on the beast? And whenever I go beast mode on the beast, I'm not being loyal to the Lamb. I'm not keeping this prophecy. Because if I'm truly going to keep this prophecy, then that means I'm going to worship the Lamb, not just in the songs that I sing, but in the way that I live my life. I'm going to worship the Lamb, not just in my belief system, not just in my theology, not just in the stands that I take for right versus wrong, but I need to worship the beast in terms of how I go about living my life. My attitudes, my words, my actions. Do I love the beast or do I treat the beast the way the beast treats me? If I'm going to keep the prophecy, I have to dare to trust Christ enough that I can actually love the way Christ loved. And I think that's why I go back to Ephesus. That it's not about just having the right beliefs and taking the right stands. It's about repenting from beastly attitudes and beastly ways so that we take those right stands with the love of Christ rather than with the attitude of the beast. Are you kind of catching it? So it's a very challenging prophecy to keep. It's not just about knowing it. It's not just about knowing, okay, Christ is worthy, you know, Domitian, the beast, whoever, not worthy. I need to make sure that I don't get deceived. We also need to make sure we don't get deceived and fall into the trap of being beastly in a beastly world. If I could put it this way, when in Rome, do as the Lamb. You know, I live in a world, when in Rome, do as the Romans. And it doesn't matter where the context is, where that's at. When you're in that fight, fight like they fight. No. When in Rome, live like the Lamb. Well, when in Rome, die like the Lamb. See, that's who our allegiance is to, and that's the one who reigns. So why would we want to imitate a defeated beast that's about to be tossed? Make sure we imitate the Lamb. And you can kind of, I mean, this is kind of scary, but you can kind of look at how you're living. That gives you a clue as to who you're actually worshiping. And we need to live in such a way that it is evident that we are a people that worships the Lamb. That the Lamb is the triumphant one. The Lamb is the one who reigns. And the Lamb is the one whose kingdom will be, is being established on the face of the earth. Blessed is the one who keeps the prophecy. We experience the goodness of God poured out upon us as we live faithful to the Lamb. Okay, one more blessing. 22:14. Blessed are those who wash their robes that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, sexually immoral, the murderers, idolaters, everyone who loves and practices falsehood. Okay, back to verse 14. Blessed are those who wash their robes that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. I'm just going to shorten it. It's what Vonda tells me. Blessed are those who do their laundry. I mean, that's what's being said right here. We experience the goodness of God as we wash our robes, as we do our laundry. And when we do our laundry, we discover that we are welcomed into that city, welcomed into that community of the people of God, the bride. Now, I think you probably recognize how we do our laundry. That we do our laundry in the blood of Christ. That our robes are washed pure in the blood of Christ. And so here we're talking forgiveness. Here we're talking atonement for sin. Here we're talking how through the blood of the Lamb, our lives are purified. And so, blessed are the one whose robes are washed. And I think about this in terms of when you're living in the empire, man, we pick up a lot of dirt. It's hard to keep your robes clean when you're living in the empire. That things catch up on you, you pick up on things, you acquire attitudes and mindsets, and it's like, man, where did that come from? Came from the empire. It was like we absorbed it. And all of a sudden we realize that our robes are dirt, that they've gotten stained. What do? We do our laundry. And so we are called to come and to confess our sins and to repent. If we went back to the letters, the calls to repent, do you remember who the calls to repent were? To whom they were issued? Believers. Churches. Called to repent. We don't normally think that way. We think about those who are outside the church and they're filthy rags. They need to come and get a new robe. They need to be washed in the blood of Christ. They need to do laundry. And they're the ones who need to repent. But it's like we in the church, we've already repented and we've already got our white robes. And sometimes we don't even bother to realize, wow, I've been out there in the empire quite a bit this week. I've picked up a lot of filth. Maybe I need to do laundry. Maybe I'm the one, maybe we're the ones who actually need to repent and get back in line with the Lamb and be washed of the filth and compromise of the empire. Good news. A way is provided for us to do our laundry. That the blood of Christ continues to wash and cleanse and purify. Not just, can I put it this way? Not just sinners from their filth, but we saints from ours as well. That the blood of Christ continues to purify, to cleanse us, to change us, to transform us, so that we can live pure lives in the empire. And we can keep our laundry up to date. And so, this gift of being able to do your laundry, it's offered in different ways. Sometimes it takes place as an altar call, and you realize, wow, I need to repent afresh. And you come and you pray and you kneel and you experience that repentance and that gift of forgiveness and cleansing and your mind being renewed and transformed and you leave cleaner than when you got here. You know, it's almost like getting your feet washed. Sometimes it happens in our private devotional times. And we just sense communion with the Lord and the Lord may be washing our feet. The Lord offering to do our laundry for us once again and purifying us. So there are different ways that we can experience this grace. But I think one of the most important ways is through communion. At Southeast, we take communion every week. And I kind of think of it this way. We need to do our laundry every week. There's a lot that happens in between Sundays. Sadly, that sometimes there's a lot that happens on Sundays. And we need to do laundry right away. And communion is an opportunity to come and do laundry, to confess once again, Jesus, I need you. I need your grace. That I can't live true to you by my own power and strength. It's only through your grace that I'm able to come to you, that I'm able to do laundry, that I'm able to experience truly your blessing and your goodness upon my life. And so this morning, we are going to take communion. And I think you probably picked it up on your way in. If you didn't get it, they're in the little blue baskets back there. And so you can go ahead and make sure you get the, I don't know what you call it, but it's kind of like an hourglass that's sealed off in the middle. And so you got the bread on one end and the cup on the other. And before we actually take it, I want you to spend some time in prayer, basically doing laundry. And just praying something like, Jesus, I want to experience your blessing, your goodness poured out upon me. And I realize that my robes need washed afresh in your blood, in your grace. And whatever the Lord's speaking to you about the laundry that needs to be done, just accept it. Yeah, that is a stain. That is a spot. I didn't want to look at it, but you're right. I thought if I kept my shirt tucked in, nobody would see it, but it's there. And pray about that and allow the Lord to wash you and to enable you to do your laundry. And then once the singing is done, trusting that you have prayed through on that, then we'll take communion together.
Chasm that lay between us, how high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven. You spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross is spoken, I am forgiven. The sealed the promise.
heads. Lord, you are so good to us in so many ways. Not least, providing a means for us to do our laundry, that we could be washed clean, that we could wear white robes, to where no matter how much time we spend in the empire, we're able to dress for you. We pray that you would cleanse us and purify us afresh today, that you would renew a right spirit within us, and that you would empower us by your grace, by your love, your mercy, to live faithful and true to you. Yes, and holding right stances and beliefs and recognizing the lies of the empire. But even more, in terms of imitating you, Jesus, in your ways, rather than living like the beast of this world. Cleanse us, purify us, change us for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. On the night that our Lord was betrayed, he was gathered in the upper room with his disciples, and he was celebrating the Passover meal. And Jesus took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you." And then in like manner, Jesus took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he said, "Take and drink. This is my blood, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sin." The Spirit and the bride say, "Come." And let him who hears say, "Come." Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. May the Lord's blessing be upon all of you.